Greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here. I've felt enriched and encouraged and enjoyed myself. So this morning, I'd like to do something that you know I normally don't do, but I've been in a couple conversations off of Wednesday evening's Bible study, and there's this same question that I get asked. Did Jesus have a carnal nature or sin nature? And I'm like, okay, this is actually a pretty important question. And so I'd like to talk about it just a little bit this morning before I go into the message. Hopefully we have time. We'll just sort of breathe and relax here a little bit. And I'd like to say what I want to share this morning is just a quick response. You could go through the New Testament if you watch for certain truths. They are all over the New Testament. And I encourage you to keep following that, and I'd like to divide between two specific things this morning. Maybe you could turn to Romans chapter 5. And while you're doing that, I want us to think about Genesis chapter 3. So in Genesis chapter 3 is where God had created man, and man was in the garden. And from what we read in Genesis chapter 3, we get the picture that man was walking with God, and man had this relationship with God. But then sin came into the world, and man was confronted about sin by God, and it led to a separation where man was driven out of the garden. And now there's a separation between God and man, and also we read in Genesis chapter 3 that God said that he would, with the seed of the woman, bruise the head of the serpent, which was a prophecy of the coming of Christ. And the whole purpose of that was to make a redemption for man. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 5, I think I'm going to break in verse 14. He says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So if we go to Genesis again, and we see man falling in Genesis chapter 3, and in Genesis chapter 4, we begin reading about the results in the next generation for that sin. And what we just read here in Romans chapter 5 is that death reigned, and the wages of sin is death. Death reigned from Adam to Moses over those that had not sinned the same way that Adam had sinned. In other words, they weren't in the garden sinning and making that choice, but death reigned. There is something that passed on from Adam to the rest of the people. Verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, he says now much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Verse 16, "And not as it were was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, and that is through Adam. But the free gift of many offenses unto justification, that's through Jesus Christ." Verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Verse 18, Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. By one man's disobedience in the garden, many were made sinners, even though they didn't sin the same sin Adam did. And when you talk about sin nature, I was pondering this. So how many of us think that's a Bible term? And I'm not trying to split hairs. Is there one?
Which word by nature, the chosen of disobedience. It's not the exact.
Yeah, it's not the exact word. But it is what we use to describe what happened. When Adam sinned, and we see that sin passed upon all men. And because that sin passed upon all men, we call that sin nature. Our children are born with that sin nature. Yeah, fallen nature, whichever you want to call it. So we need what? Actually, Andrew read a verse on it this morning. We need what because of this sin and sin nature?
Adoption.
Thank you. That's good. There was another one. There's several terms. Redemption. We need redemption. Now, are we sure about that? Now, if Jesus has a carnal nature or a sin nature, he needs what? Redemption. You see where we are? I brought my phone to the pulpit this morning because these are not my notes, and I looked something up. Okay. So we read that he was the spotless Lamb of God. Is that right? Romans chapter 3 spends quite a bit of time talking about all have sinned. That's us, right? But Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, for he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So when Jesus hung on the cross, there came a point that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What do we think? Why did he forsake him when he was on the cross? Because he took our sin. And when he took our sin, that separated him from God. And he came here to be our redemption, to die for our sin. And here's what it says. For he hath made, God has made him sin who didn't know any sin. He did no sin. That we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in him. There's adoption through Jesus Christ. That again, if you want to write this down in 2 Corinthians 5:21. 1 Peter 2, verse 22 says, who, talking about Jesus, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. First John chapter 3, verse 5. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him was no sin. So Jesus had no sin. But now, 1 John 1:8 says something different. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So we go to Romans chapter 3. We need redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. So now how was he tempted in all points like we are? And he's this high priest that identifies with our temptation and our struggle. How? If he had no sin nature, and he knew no sin, yet he's tempted in all points like we are, how can he be there? So let's go back to the virgin birth. There's several really important truths in the virgin birth. The virgin birth, if we really believe in the virgin birth, that means there was no sexual relationships in Mary's life before Jesus was born, which naturally, this is impossible. But when we believe in the virgin birth, now Jesus does not have an earthly father. Is that right? But he has an earthly mother. Okay? There is a place, so it calls him the Son of Man, meaning he was human. He was a human man. He did have flesh and blood like we do. His body got physically tired. But his father was God. So now, as you look at Adam's sin, and in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm not going to turn there. In 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. So Jesus, for his father, did not go back to the first Adam. So he did not inherit the sin nature. God was his father. And yet, he had a fleshly body like you and I do. He was tempted the same way that Adam and Eve were back in the garden. So we could argue that, well, it's still not quite equal. But the only way that he could live and be the spotless Lamb of God and be sin-free is if he was free from sin. And yet he came and he faced sin. He faced temptation in the flesh. He was severely tempted. And he did not give in. He died without sin, like we read here. And you can keep going on and on and on with this. This is a short meditation of mine this morning. But as I my mind went back to, what are the basics? Could we deal with just the basics? And I hadn't done it yet, but Andrew opened the Bible and started reading. I'm like, yeah, it's just starting to come out of the pages. It's just there. And yet, amen. All right, well, they stuck the board away for me, since I'm writing things on it and it would have been distracting. I'd like to talk about personal growth this morning. It's supposed to have just a TH. Thank you.
Let's make sure we correct that. In the old English, it has the T, I think. And in my notes, it actually didn't kick about it. That's what the King James does to you. There are spellings that are different. Thank you. So, see, that's a good example of growth, personal growth. It gets really, really personal. And that's actually, yeah, I didn't plan that one that way, but that's good. Could we just rise for prayer? Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being able to be your people, to be your children. God, we ask for your Spirit to come and dwell in our hearts, and that you would bear witness in our hearts that we're sons, joined heirs with Christ. We pray for your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, and that you would lead us in life and guide us. And as we consider thoughts about growing and pressing on in life and becoming more created into your image, we pray that you would just feed us from your word this morning and stir our hearts. Help us, dear God, to continue to increase in stature with you. Lord, bless the whole congregation here. Pray for your grace in each one of our lives, and that we could be a body that is functioning together, and every part, every joint is contributing and increasing and is a blessing. We need you, Lord, to keep us and guide us. Just bless this service here this morning. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we think about personal growth, it gets personal. It gets personal. It touches things in our lives that make us squirm. Yesterday in brothers' meeting, we were talking about the times that we look dumb. We look dumb. Well, there's times we are what it looks like. But then if we try to fight it and not be honest about it, it causes us to become a fool. But if we're able and willing to have the humility to face who we are and let God speak into our lives and change us, we can have growth, personal growth. That's what we're looking for, personal growth. I'd like to read a couple verses here, just sort of as a beginning. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40 says, "There are bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another." And that's talking about earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. And it's saying there's a difference in glory. Then 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord," says we are changed when we're beholding his glory. We are changed into the same image of what we're beholding, from glory to glory. And it gives us the picture here that as we behold, we get born again, we get right with God, and we behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made more into his image, and in our lives, there's this reflection that is coming out of our lives. People look on, and I've heard this in numerous ways in life, but often it's like, something happened to that person. They're not the same anymore. That's the start. And then sanctification in our life is when we go and grow and we extend in glory. Maybe the freshness of that new birth doesn't feel like it did back then, but there's a growth going on, and there's a stability going on, and there's a spiritual maturity going on that just begins to reflect Christ more and deeper and stronger. And it's from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of our Lord, is how the verse finishes. As the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts and leads us and guides us, it's from glory to glory. Now, what did I do with my marker? Okay. So I want to add a word to this title, not just personal growth, but intentional personal growth. So when we add the word intentional, it adds some meaning to personal growth. And thinking about intentional, did anybody make eggs this morning? I see a raise of hands. Okay. Did anybody make easy over eggs this morning? Okay. We have a hand for that one. Now, let me ask you a question. You have to be intentional to make eggs. But do you have to be more intentional to make easy over eggs? Uh-huh. Somehow, I'm old enough in life now that I've heard people say about easy over eggs that they got messed up this morning. We were trying and, it messed up. Because you have to be very intentional when you're making easy over eggs, and you mess up easily. Intentional. So, anybody starting any plants? Yep, okay. And if you're looking for a specific plant, do you have to be care about what you seed you use? We just sort of know if I want a tomato, I'd better put a tomato seed in the ground. Or in that little soil. And when we put that seed in the soil, let me guess that probably one of the first things you did is you watered it. Is that right? And then you put it somewhere where you knew it's going to get sun. Is that right? Why couldn't it just sit on the kitchen counter or on the table? Because we know what it takes to make that plant grow. And we continue to do intentional things in the process of growing that plant till the day it can go outside. And then we're still intentional because we're looking for a round red fruit. We fuss over that thing all summer long. We want it to grow. We want it to produce. It's intentional. That's how our Christian life is. It's intentional. It's intentional. Now, I like to turn this around. And I'm going to have to help myself here a little bit before you look at it. This is personal, remember? Well, I've been around long enough, you all know that's about me, so. So, as we think about ourselves personally, and we look at all these words, none of them is a bad word. Is that right? Does anybody see a word I ought to take off that wouldn't be good for us to have strength and be well at in life? But now let's work this over a little bit. Let's have a person that they've got an 8 here from 1 to 10. They score an 8 with having passion and drive. Get it done. What do you think the score might be here on compassion?
3.
Whoops. Okay. So now this same person that has passion and drive, what are they going to tend to score on uncompromising? Okay, what did you say?
I'm going to say 7.
7, okay. And when it comes to being peaceful, what does he score?
3 or 4.
Man, I'm going to give him a 2. Just not going to be quite that gracious with you. I don't have this planned out. So, consistent. He's got passion, drive, uncompromising, and he's consistent. Can we give him a 9 here? Henry's not sure. Sometimes these people are pretty loose-footed. Okay, let's give him a 6. What about flexibility? But you see what happens here? Then he might get a 4 here if he had a 6 on consistent. But when this number goes to 9, that number's going down. Let's be punctual. You know what? It was evident this morning that we talked yesterday about being in here as families sitting up front. I just saw efforts. It was evident. And it's a good morning. Amen. So let's not just think about this morning. But this person here, he would tend to be pretty punctual. Am I right? Can I do a 9 here? Surely. Patient. You give him a 1. Poor guy. Okay, now just strength as a whole.
10.
And gentleness?
11.
We'll get discussed with you afterwards. What do you think on gentleness? Can we give him a 2? Now, I'm going to switch colors. And let's start with a compassionate person over here. We're going to give him a 9 on being compassionate. Where is he at on passion and drive?
2.
Yeah. Let's just start with a 3. Peaceful. He has compassion. He's peaceful. Eight. And here, uncompromising. Yeah, there you go. Flexible. Passionate, peaceful.
I was going to do that.
I mean, they just do it. But now what about consistent? Eventually. I'm going to put a 2 down here, a lot of numbers. And it can vary. We're not perfectly putting somebody on the board. Patience here. Compassionate, peaceful, flexible, and patient. Okay. And what should we do with gentleness? Okay. Now, patient and punctual. What's he going to do? Okay. I'm going to make it good and make it a 4. Gentle and strength. Yeah, it's probably right. Now we put 2 people on the board. Which one is right or better? Neither. Right. And when we're talking about personal growth, which one has more area to grow in? But it's different, right? So we're wanting to make this personal. We're wanting to make this personal. Personal growth. Now I'd like to turn it around again. So as we look at what we did with those words, the good news is we can change. We can grow. That's the good news. That's the good news. And in fact, we all have the option to grow. We have that option. It's available to us. So now I'd like to think, we were talking about us being born again, and we're looking at a glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that changes us to go from glory to glory. When we don't have that, we don't have a new heart. And these 2 circles are just a life, someone's life. And the center is where the heart is, our inner being. And there are a lot of programs out there where people are trying to improve themselves as to who they are and how they're functioning. And there's a couple things here. I'm not going to throw that all away, because I am seeing people putting a lot of efforts into changing who they are and growing and learning, and they're not necessarily changed on the inside. They are actually working from the outside in to better themselves. As God's people, when we get a new heart, and we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and we deal with the things in life, and we find freedom. Now we're focused on Him, and we want to change from glory to glory. This thing does this. From within, we're looking at changing. And we have an inner power within our hearts and lives that actually gives us the strength to change and grow. Now, something that is a burden to me is when you see Christians just sitting. And this happens. And become very nonchalant about life. I'm just born again. I have my ticket. I'm relaxed. I'm at ease. And then you see people over here that are on purpose looking at what they can do to grow. And would you allow me to say that these people over here that are disadvantaged actually do more growing than some Christians do? That's sad. That's sad. But we as God's people have the opportunity, it's here for us, that we can apply ourselves and grow. Personal growth. Personal. Deal with who I am, what my weaknesses are. I know what my strengths are. And some in these self-help programs will tell you, don't focus on your weaknesses, focus on your strength, because that's where you gain the easiest. Well, that's true. But I do believe in the gospel. When we deal with the insides of who we are, though I may never hit for myself an 8 on compassion, can't I at least move from a 3 to a 5? And we don't need to beat ourselves over the head that we didn't hit a 10 there. That's not who God made us. But I want to grow in all areas. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we need to make a constant focus out of, I want to grow and become a better person. We need to look for opportunities to perfect our strength and be honest in dealing with who we are before God. Now, I'd like to deal yet with a subject. We put a couple people on the board here. Now I can say, well, that's who I am. God made me that way. Maybe I should turn it around again. God made me blue, or God made me green. This is who I am, and you're just going to need to accept me the way I am. While there is truth to that, it's not a blanket truth. If I am using that as an excuse to not deal with the personal things in my life where I need to grow, then I'm not going the right way here. Now, as we look at the other person and we see who they are and who God made them to be, and we accept them, we need to. In fact, as we look at this, we created two opposites. Those two people need each other, right? Really, really bad. They really need each other. And they actually need to hear each other. But they speak opposite languages many times. But when we can see that and come together, and it seems like unless I deal with dealing with these things in my heart and life and see my need, then I cannot accept the next person well. When I can accept where I am, this is the truth. I don't need to condemn myself, but here's where I am, and I want to grow, and I trust that the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, can continue to change me. Well, now that's possible for the next person too. And there's much more grace in our hearts, one to another, when we see that. So yes, just accept each other, and no, we want to grow, we want to change. We do have personalities that God has made us, but we want to change from glory to glory. So now I only have 3 points this morning. The first one is choosing to grow. Choosing to grow. You could say, well, why would we need to do that? Why do we need to do that? Well, intentional personal growth means we're going to do things on purpose to get a result we're looking for. And when we choose to grow, it puts us in a frame of mind that opens up our hearts and minds. Okay, I need change. I need change. And if we all scored ourselves on the board, we'd be at different places. But as we look at them, we would say, well, I need change. I need improvement. There's a lot of space here. And none of us ever will be perfectly everything. Only the Lord Jesus is able to do that. But I need to choose to grow and not just sit here and abide my time. Intentional personal growth. I'd like to read a couple of verses. The first one, first two are out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee. Choose life. Then I'd like to read Joshua 24:15, which is really, really familiar. Josh is talking to the children of Israel. If it seem evil unto you serving to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers are served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is telling the children of Israel to make a choice, to choose. Then he says in the end, and I have made a decision. We have chosen that we are going to serve the Lord. I believe we have chosen here to serve the Lord. But I'd like to lift that choice a little bit higher this morning, that we don't just sit here and abide our time, but we choose in serving the Lord that I'm going to be one of those that grows, that goes forward, that makes progress, that obeys the word of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Put a stake down. I'm going to press into the kingdom. I'm going to be one of those that doesn't live by accident. You know, we've chosen Jesus. We've named the name of Christ. We call ourselves a Christian. Isaiah 7:15, he says, butter and honey shall he eat. But that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Those are decisions we make in life as we go. But we need an overall decision that I'm going to choose to grow. Matthew 12, verse 33, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. The tree is known by his fruit. Intentional, personal growth requires a choice to be able to bear good fruit. And good fruit or bad fruit comes from our heart. So what is coming out of my life? Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 11 to 14. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're talking about choosing. Choosing. Reckon. Reckoning ourselves to be dead. I'm choosing to serve the Lord. Verse 12, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you're sealed yourselves to God, that's a choice, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Don't let sin have dominion over you, he says in verse 14, making a decision not to follow sin, but rather choosing to grow in the Lord. Let's go on to number two. Identify areas of need. Identify areas of need. So here what we did, I gave subjects here that could branch out into all kinds of different situations into my life. And there's going to be other things that are not on this board that open up in our lives, or that are areas that we can identify as an area to grow. Remember, this is personal. James 1:23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I didn't bring the mirror, but I should have. I think I could count on it that all of us spent some time in front of the mirror this morning. Right? We looked in the mirror. Why were we there to start with? We were intending to come to church. Why did that matter? Well, what's the mirror have to do with that?
Somebody else might be here.
Somebody else might be here. Okay. Starting to crack that door open a little bit. Why would we look in the mirror? Because somebody else might be here. The sleep dirt. Do you think I brought a magnifying glass? We comb our hair, try to make sure our clothes are right. And for us men, we even have a helpmeet that looks at us and see whether we're dressed properly or not. We get fixed up sometimes. But we're looking in the mirror because we're concerned about what we look like, right? And what other people are going to see. And we have some care about what we look like. What we look like. So, in our everyday situations, should we look in the mirror some? And how these things are working out? When they hit the practical areas, the personal areas, we tend to justify our intentions. So when I'm doing something and it didn't come out right, but my heart was good and I meant to end up a certain way, and we'll go as far as we said something and it didn't get said right, but this is what I meant. Could you just hear me? Now, I'm probably the only one here that's done that. But when we're listening to the other person, we're listening to what they said, we're hearing their tone of voice, and we're going by their body language. And we take them for right how it was. And we end up with this mismatch. I judge myself on my intentions, but I judge the other person on the bare facts of what I saw. But if we can look in the mirror and see what actually happened in my heart and life, and deal with that, and then have grace with the other person. You know, I'm going to give one here for you guys that are married. When our wives are overwhelmed with a situation and it's just coming out in a whole tumble of words of what's going on, and it's just, we can say, well, you need to calm down. It's like, well, honey, my, you've had a hard day. Which one do you think they want to hear? Now, which one do we tend to say? And we need to look in the mirror. You can do that in all kinds of situations. It's easy to identify other people's needs. You ever notice that? It is easy to identify other people's needs. In fact, this is not a special gift. Most people can do it. But what is much harder is identifying my own needs. That takes an honest and a humble heart to identify my own needs. Identifying our needs. Honest and humble, looking into the mirror, considering what I'm seeing. Now, verse 24 in James chapter 1 is the one right after 23. It talks about being a hearer of the word, not a doer, is like unto man that beholds his face in a glass. And then straightway he goes his way and forgets what he saw. What that is saying is we come to the mirror and we see ourselves. But a week from now, do I still remember? Am I still aware? Or am I a forgetful hearer and not a doer of the word? So as we stand in front of the mirror, identifying needs in our lives, it's a time that we need to do some memory work so that we don't become a forgetful hearer. Somehow it needs to get strong enough in our hearts that I'm like, I need to deal with that. And we need the grace of God. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, to lead us and guide us, and He can speak to us about those things in our lives. And I want to encourage you, if that is happening in your heart and life, you're blessed. You're blessed. That's the Christian life. When we're walking and living our lives and the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts saying, okay, what you did just there didn't honor me. That's not what I was looking for. Or there's an area we identify and we're saying, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, there it was again. That means the Spirit of God is alive in our hearts. We need the voice of the Holy Spirit in the mirror. The Word of God is a mirror. The preaching of the Word is a mirror. Other people speaking into our lives is a mirror. I'd like to Just read yet James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 before going on to the third point. And I'm going to have some more verses for the third point out of James chapter 1. But verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every one of you be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now we're talking about a mirror. And I'm going to guess this verse touches most of our lives somewhere. Or these two verses. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every one of you be swift to hear." Swift to hear. And we've got a 10. Most of us not. Most of us not. Slow to speak. Right, slow to speak on the word. How many of us get a 10? There might be a few in here that actually get a 10. Slow to wrath. Right, slow to wrath on the board. How many of us get a 10? And here's an area that I at least have a better number than I used to. When I was a boy, I might have gotten a 1 or a 2 at the best. Because I had one of those hot short fuses. Not everybody is that way, but I was. That has been a lot of hard work. Calm down. Don't react. So now, the third point I'd like to talk about is taking responsibility to change. Taking responsibility to change. And what I'd like to do here is take it just a step further yet. It all looks like the same package, but we want to take it just a little step further. So in James here, verse 22, he says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Then verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And that's what we're looking for. "If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So when we take responsibility to change, to grow, we are intentional. We're intentional. We do it on purpose. We go after the things that make a difference in my life. We go after the things that make a difference in my life. Now, I'd like to talk about the bottom circle yet. And there again, we're looking at that being our life. And we're wanting to make changes in life. And if we would look at this as 24 hours in a day, and we can have morning at the top, that's what I was thinking when I drew this. And that's going to be sleep. I don't know if I have it perfect. Probably not for everyone. That's not possible. And for us men, this is going to be work. And between work and sleep, we have used up probably for sure 16 hours in our day. We have a little bit of space here in the morning. We get home in the evening, and we may have some time to do chores and do supper and things, and we go somewhere for the evening, and we have a little bit of time before bedtime. Now, as I'm looking at making change, And I see areas of need where I need to grow. I have to be honest and real with my life and what there's space for. I'm going to say we have all our filling, our 24 hours a day. And so, let's go to men's leadership. And our hearts are stirred. And we're really challenged. And I come home and I want to spend more time reading and praying, personal life. And I want to spend more time with my family. These two are pretty fixed. Depending on the situation, there can be some adjustments, but there's a certain amount that just has to happen. If we look at the rest of our time that is left, we have to be able to make decisions, and can I say goals, that work within these realms. And you can take work and create more space here, depending on your situation. But you're still going to have the 24 hours in a day. And many times we have to make decisions between something we're already doing that could be a good thing. And I want to trade it off for a better thing. If I don't make adjustments, life will go on as it is, because my life is already full. It's already full. Something that does happen, we look at our schedule and we see space where we could make changes and adjustments. But in a month or two, we sort of peter out. I won't ask for a raise of hands. How many have made a commitment to do something, to grow and change, and 3 months later you realize it's not happening anymore? I just know it's sitting here because we're human beings. So what can we do to be intentional about making those steps of growth? I feel like I'm a little bit on the short side here. And if it wasn't for the sake of time, if I didn't do what I did at the beginning, I'd probably open it up here, give my suggestions, and then I'd like to hear other things. And we could even do that quickly. If you have something on your mind that comes to your mind, what are things that we can do that help us keep that commitment and make the adjustment and the change? So, one that I'm going to give that we can do is write it down. Write it down, what I want to do. Something happens when we write it down. It just adds some weight to it. Now, I'll just be honest with you, that's not enough for me. I usually need a little bit more. But another one that people have done, and I've done this some, is share it with others. Share it with others. This is the area of need I see, and I'd like to make this change and adjustment. And you hear the words people say, now would you keep me accountable for that? I think that's good. That's healthy. In making those goals, we have to be reasonable with our 24 hours. If we make ourselves goals that are beyond reach, it won't happen. So let's think in a way of being reasonable. We don't have to reach this thing in 1 month, or maybe 1 year. but rather we're going to start plodding in that direction and move forward. Here's one that does work for me. And I've gotten different responses through the years, and I haven't always done this. But it's called an accountability sheet. And I've done this for various things in my life. Denny Keniston introduced this to me years ago. An accountability sheet. And some of you are going to get stiff in just a little bit here, okay? You're all right. You'll be okay. But he literally had us keep track of our time reading our Bibles and praying every day and write it down. You see why I said you're going to get a little bit stiff? That works for some people. Others have a really hard time with it because now I really am doing my devotions. But the key is when I read my Bible and I pray, something happens in my heart and life that is very positive. And when I have 7 days here and I write them in, and I get to the end of the week and I look back at what am I seeing, I don't have an I think report, I have a report. Us being completely honest with ourselves tends to just struggle. And some of that is memory. I have several calendars where I keep track of things. And if I don't do that, I quit doing it. Or I lose track of where I am. And in just preparing for this, I'm contemplating, should I add another sheet somewhere? Because I do well with accountability, writing it down and seeing it myself. Denny had us turn it into him at the end of the month. Or the week. But I've been using it just for myself, seeing, well, this is where I am. I'm having a hard time resisting temptation. And I look back over my week, and it's been a sloppy week or month of personal devotions. Well, what do you expect? But we tend to not grasp that unless we see something. And if you're sitting here saying, I'm not this way, I'm going to try to just... I got to flip this. I'm going to try to come over here to compassion and with gentleness. Just simply say, you know, I have an experiment for you that I actually think would be a benefit. And I know mom's life looks different than men's lives. I might be talking more to the men here, and yet you ladies, you work off of schedules all the time. But if you really want to see where you're going, and I'm going to take this one step further in helping men with moral struggles. I've gotten involved in different programs that go through and help and accountability and keeping tabs of where we are every day. And guess what? Accountability is way up here. And reading our own hearts and our responses is way up here. So reading your Bible, praying, memorizing, and that accountability are the tools that they put out there for overcoming things like pornography. And then you come to a meeting and you have your sheet. We talk about it. We're honest about it. We're transparent with it. And I'm like, you know, this is not just a Paul thing. This is not just a Denny Keniston thing. If you want to go somewhere, shake loose some of the looseness. Shake loose some of the looseness. I'm going to need a close. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter in conclusion. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Then he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's grow in grace. Let's keep a focus on, I want to grow. I want to go forward. And I need to intentionally do things in my life that cause that to happen. And when we have the Spirit of God in our hearts, He'll take and make it personal in each one of our lives and lead us to grow.